Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
श्रीराम माधव जू की प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिप्रजा का चार्ज अष्टोत्तर सतशी श्रीमान हे शिवायंग इस भय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठित आचार्य जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय अनंत कोट वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरठा शिवा शरी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप सी मायपुरधाम की जय। गंगमय की जय। जामोनमय की जय। भक्ति देव की जय। तुलसी महारान की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदी है समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। ओ ग्लोरी सुधी असंबदि भवतीस। ओ ग्लोरी सुधी असंबदि भवतीस। ओ ग्लोरी सुधी असंबदि भवतीस। ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपादा। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text number 42 and 43. The Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atvaitat Purnam Abhyatmam Yach Cha Neti Anuritam Vacha Sarvam Neti Anuritam Bruyat Sa Duskriti Swasan Mrita अथैतात् पूर्णम् आत्मन् याच्छानेति अमृतं वच सर्वं नेति अमृतं ब्रूयात् साधुस्कृति स्वसंवृतम् अथैतात् पूर्णम् अव्यक्तम् याच्छानेति अमृतं वच सर्वं नेति अमृतं ब्रूयात् साधुस्कृति स्वसंवृत्त्यं अथैतात् पूर्णम् अव्यक्तम् याच्छानेति अमृतं वच सर्वं नेति अमृतं भूयात् साधुस्कृति स्वसंवृत्त्यं अथैतात्पूर्णमाध्यात्मम् याच्छानेति अमृतं वच सर्वं नेति अमृतं याच्छानेति अमृतं वच सर्वं नेति अमृतं ब्रूयात् साधुस्कृति स्वसंवृत्त्यं अतः thereafter एतत् that पूर्णम् completely अभियात्मम् drawing the compassion of others by presenting oneself as always poverty stricken yet that cha also na not iti thus anuritam false bacha words sarvam completely na not iti thus anuritam falsity bruyat who should say sha such a person duskriti infamous swasam while breathing or while alive mritya is dead or should be killed translation in purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai And therefore the safe course is to say no. Although it is falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws compassion from others towards oneself. And it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one is always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For he is a dead body while living. or while still breathing, he should be killed. Please repeat. The safe course is to say no. Although it's a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others towards oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is like a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. Purport. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing, and this may be very good for them, because in this way they are assured of not losing their money, and they will always draw attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or, according to another interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows: Atoitat purnam mabiyatmam nanyati sha yad sarvam niti bruyat papikasha kiti jayati shain tetraiva hanyat. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Shainam tatrai vahanyat. Om agyantim vyandasya chanam janan shalaka yotak shura manitandina tasmai shri girvindamaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So he is pointing out, or Shukracharya is given so many excuses and reasons and logic on why he should not be given charity. Brahmana Dev has come begging charity. Shukracharya has sussed it out that he's going to take everything. So now he's presenting so many excuses why he shouldn't give him his required request. So here he's saying that no, this is the safe side. To say no, it's okay, you won't be telling lies and won't be classified as a real lie, because you're losing your own livelihood, everyone else will lose their livelihood. So many reasons that he's been giving. and it's also good for you if you're a beggar, because no one will come to you for money. So in this way you can always say, I've got no money, so no one will come and bother you. And it draws the compassion from others. Oh, this man has no money, this person has no money. I'd like to help him out, have compassion. So it's good to be good for the beggar to have to do that. And this Wherever you go, you can ask for a donation. They would think, oh, he deserves a donation. Or he has no, he's a beggar, he's no money. So we give him donation for all these angles of vision he is presenting to stop Bhamana Dev from taking three steps of land, which means the whole universe. So, Bhat Sukacharya, because he's a priest, he's advanced, he's attached to the demigods and fruitive work, but he knows the Vedas, he knows Brahman, he's a Brahman means one who knows Brahman, so he's the priest of the demigods, he knows, but he has lots of material attachment. So he's giving all these good reasons why he shouldn't give anything. But then he says, but nevertheless, if one always pleads he has nothing, then that is condemned. Better he is killed. Better not let him live because he is... In other words, the kings in society should see in such a way that everybody is engaged in devotional service. Or at least in their occupational duties, if they're not devotees. So everybody, this is Krishna's plan. I have created divisions in society so you can work and be happy. So where does this beggar, where does he fit in society? He doesn't really fit in anywhere. He's not a Brahmana. Brahmana begs, but he gives to the Vishnu. It's not for himself. So the beggar is okay. Sometimes according to circumstances, you have to become a beggar. You're forced to become a beggar. You lose everything. Everything is gone. You have to beg. That's okay. That's not condemned. But it's understood you're going to get back on your feet again. You're going to do something. At least you can go and get some work somewhere. But if you fail to do that just on the excuse of begging, you're failing to do all that, then again you go to the for begging, then that's not good. That's agitating in society. If some beggars come up to you every day and they're asking you, give me, I need this, and it's okay once or twice, but you can't go on whole life. So there's no place for them really in society. The sutras are working. Sutras not so good. They complain. They lament. Because they're not so advanced. But they work. They go and do it. They may complain and lament. I'm not getting enough money, or work is too hard. Or so. But at least they're doing it. They're taking part in society. They're working. So, Brahmana, the others, they don't lament. Sudra, he laments. I want this, I want more, I need more facility. But at least this one, he is working. Now the beggar, he doesn't work, he's not doing anything. In society, a Brahmana, he lives by collecting donations. That's how he sustains himself. He makes his money by collecting donation. The Kshatriya, he makes his money by taxation. He just goes out and tax people. The Vaishya, he goes out and starts a business. He makes his money by doing a business. So these people don't lament. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they don't lament. They go out and do something about it. But the Sudra, he laments. Therefore, he's positioned to serve the other three castes. Just like the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they have helpers, they have odd job men, they have They, everybody has office, my office boys. Whatever you do, they have labor. So that's the sutra. He lives by serving the other three castes. He gets his money through serving through other castes. I went on what they call the dole in England. You go on the dole. It's if you're without work, you can go and ask the government for some money. Anyway, I've been traveling around for quite some time, a couple of years, and then I went back to England, and I didn't have a job or anything like that, so I went to the office, government office. I said, can you give me some money? I said, and he started shouting at me, got really angry. I said, what are you doing shouting at me like this? So you went out and work, have you tried going out anywhere? I said, no, I didn't really try for work, but I thought you can give here. So I wasn't expecting that. I thought he was there to help people. But they don't like lazy bums either, as they say. You've got to go out and do some work. Anyway, he said, he gave me a couple of addresses. You go here and you come get some work there. So nobody likes that in society, beggars in society. Baisha, he doesn't lament. He goes out and makes some. There's some example that Mr. Agarwal, the famous family in India, sect, caste, right? Agarwal. So in Calcutta there are many Agarwalas, and we know many of them, they're friends of ISKCON. So one of the Agarwalas was telling this story that the young Agarwal, he came and he went to the other one, the elder one. He just left his college or whatever it was. And he said, oh, you know, I got no money. You can give me some money. So they're Vaishyas. Vaishyas not supposed to. They're supposed to be beggars. So at that time, there was a plague in Calcutta, and it was being spread by rats, some black rat or something. It had this plague, whatever it was, and they were going and biting things and people, and it was like an epidemic, a big plague. So the government put a price on the tail of the rat. If you can cut the tail off and give it to the government, you'll get 1 rupee. So they started this program, so it worked. Eliminate all the rats who were causing a big plague, a big dangerous plague. So the Agarwalas were talking, and then the elder Agarwala said, look, out the window, he said, see there in the road, in the gutter, there's a dead rat. He said, that is your fortune. He said, this is a Baisha. He went down, he cut the tail off, he took it, he got 1 rupee. And from that, he did something else and something, and then he became rich. So they won't lament, they'll find somehow another way to do it. Another story of a relative of one of the devotees, ISKCON devotees, during the time of partition, Bangladesh, Pakistan and India, there was a partition caused by the British. And yet they had to flee the country because they were killing each other like anything, and millions of people actually were killed during that. People rushing to Pakistan, and Pakistan is rushing to India. You know, the Muslims in India were rushing to Pakistan, and the Hindus and everyone in Pakistan were rushing to India, and they were fighting on it. Whenever they saw each other, millions of people were actually killed. So they just fled and with what they had, you know, you just a gumtree or something, and there was no time to get anything. Life is in danger, and people are they're attacking, and so this happened. That family, a devotee's family, they came over the border. They had nothing except the clothes that they had on their body. Some of our devotees here also. What's his name? Maya Manoj. Somebody may know Maya Manoj and his family. They were here, used to do the kirtanya, great kirtanias. At that time, Bangladesh, there was a little war. They were coming as refugees from there, and they were fleeing. One family came here, and they took shelter here. They had gumchas on, that's all. They had to leave so quickly, because otherwise you'd get killed. They only had gumchas. So he came with a gumcha, and he took shelter of Krishna. His son later became a millionaire. Anyway, that was a situation. They had to flee the country. They had absolutely nothing. And few rupees. So this man, with these few rupees, he saw a tree had fallen down. So he said, "Who is that tree?" So he found out the owner. He said, "Can I buy that tree from you? I only have this much money." He said, "Okay." So he bought the tree. And then he went to someone and he said, "Can I borrow your axe for cutting wood, chopper. Can I borrow your chopper for a couple of hours? I want to." He said, "Okay, you can borrow it." So then he cut the tree up into firewood. So then he sold all the firewood, made a little bit of profit. Then he bought his own axe, because he couldn't keep borrowing the other one, but he bought his own axe. Got another tree, cut it up, sold firewood with the profit. He hired one labor, so that the labor was cutting the tree. And that axe, he had a labor, he was cutting the tree. Like this, he got a couple of labors, a couple more trees with every time the profit increased. And like that, after I think about 9 months later, he had one of the biggest hotels in Bombay, the 5-star hotel in Bombay. So it was the definition of Kshatriya. They don't lament or just, so much. Go out and do something, whatever it takes you to do it. Even you have to act like a sutra or whatever it is, but that's the situation, is a dangerous situation or an awkward. Then it's permitted, you can act like a sutra. But this is the situation. But sutra, he laments, but still he does his work, he's faithful. But the beggar man, he doesn't do anything. Nobody likes him. He's like a leech in society. Sometimes they accuse ISKCON people. What do you do for society? Or do you just... What do we do? What do they do? We're taking everybody back to Godhead. They're just taking everyone back to Yamaraj. This is what we're offering. So but sadhus also beg sometimes. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was begging. Although he was a king's son, when he finally escaped from his responsibility as being a prince, a king, practically. Then he was actually begging in Jagannath Puri. He went to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was begging near the Shimadwara, I believe, the Lion Gate. Anyway, there's a place where people line there, for, like they're beggars. And people who go to take darshan of Jagannath and they want to give charity to the poor and things like that, that's a part of their custom. So there is a line of people and they sit outside or stand outside. So someone goes and worships Jagannath and comes back and he gives some charity to the beggars. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was there like that. Then after some time, he wasn't there. And Mahaprabhu said, "Where is Raghunath?" He said, "No, he stopped going to that place where they beg." Mahaprabhu said, "Why is he doing that? Why is he not going anymore?" Well, he was, it's indicating he's still dependent on someone. He's begging, he's dependent on someone to give him some money or some Jagannath Prasad or something. So therefore he's not there anymore, he's gone to the kitchen, free kitchen, where he doesn't have to beg. Mahaprabhu said, "Very good. That's better. Better you go to the free kitchen than you beg. Because by begging you become like a prostitute. You're waiting in line, in the beggar's line, and you think, oh, that man, he gave me, last week he was here, he came to see, he must give me something. Oh, no. He walked straight past, he didn't give me anything. Oh, here comes another man, I remember, look, this man looks really smart, and he's coming over here, and he's a wealthy man, he's definitely going to give something. Oh, he's gone." So it's like prostitute. This man will be coming next to entertain, I'll entertain him next time, he must come. So Mahaprabhu said, "No, it's not good like that. Better he goes to the free kitchen." So Raghunath Das Goswami, he went to the free kitchen, so he's eating whatever they ate, khichdi or whatever, food for life. Then after some time also he wasn't there. The Mahaprabhu said, "Where is he now?" He said, "He's got a new place where he gets his food. It's where they throw the garbage and everything over the wall. They throw everything over the wall there. If you do the Pikram of Jagannath, if you start from the Lion Gate and do Pikram, when you almost finish the Pikram, so that Jagannath facing which direction? Oh, the ocean is on the east, no, the western. The west? West. Anyway, just as you almost complete the Pikram of Jagannath, that's where they still today, they throw the garbage. And it's not a little bit, it's right out, piled up on the wall, and it's everything, old banana leaves, old prasad and stuff, and anything that goes there, and there's all cows on there eating it. And it's, you know, it's smelly. I was making a pikram with Radhanath Maharaj. He said, "This is the place where Raghunath used to eat. You hungry?" "I know how hungry," he says. "I was all garbage, it was flies and everything like that. But anyway, the cows liked him." But Raghunath Das Goswami, he would go there and he would get the rice. Even the cows that left, they didn't want it. But he would get that, going a bit green even. He would clear, then he would wash it. And that would be his food stuff. Mahaprabhu was very happy with the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he went to see him after he collected his rice and washed it. Then Mahaprabhu said, "Raghunath, what have you got there? You're holding some nectar, I think. What is it?" "I'll take some of that." He grabbed it and took some of it. Just like nectar, just like nectar. They had to hold him back. "No, this is not for you, Lord. You shouldn't be eating this kind of food stuff." But anyway, he was very happy with Raghunath Das's renunciation. So it's that kind of renunciation is superior to begging or claiming oneself to be a beggar. There's another verse here, isn't there? Yeah, if that person continues to be a professional beggar, he continues, once or twice it's okay, but if they continuously do it, purposefully continue this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or according to another interpretation, a man of falsity should be killed even while breathing. In other words, he's no use for society, better he's killed. What's he going to do for society? The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing but collects money by begging, is considered to be killed, or no, he should be killed. It's text 33 here also, but there's no purpose. Shishu narma vivahicho avritarjata pranashankati go brahmanate him sayam nangritam saj jupitsitam. Translation. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hands, falsity is never condemned. So it's not condemned like in certain situations, and like they're mentioning here, then it's not condemned because one is doing it for other purpose, to save your ones from your enemy's hand. You can tell protecting cows, you can tell then flattering a woman to bring her under control, joking in a wedding ceremony. Joking in the wedding ceremony. God Vibaha ceremony, that's pleasure, sense gratification. Wedding means sense gratification. Sometimes what is an auspicious date is for the Vibaha wedding, and they choose someone's disappearance day. It's kind of a bit of a rasa bus there. Or we choose the disappearance day of such and such, because one is a mood of separation, the other, Vibaha means enjoyment. So at least try to choose someone's appearance day rather than disappearance. One sannyasi told me that when he was at one wedding, this was going on. He said, it's a disappearance day. It's not so conducive for a wedding. Wedding is enjoying, sense great. Everybody's enjoying, happy, right? Dressed up. And I was in one Jagannath Mandir, and one devotee, I won't say his name, but anyway, Bhaktivedanta Purna was doing the Homa. So he was talking to the bride, and so then the bride room, he said, so you still have a choice. You still have a choice. He was a very fixed up brahmachari previously, but he was getting married. You still have a choice. He says, his future wife is there, and he's there. Wanna go ahead? Okay, he went ahead. So he did the Vibhasa, but joking. Conjugal reverse means light, laughter. There's a lot of joking there. So it can go on there in the wedding ceremony, the joking and things like that. And praising the groom at the wedding. And the bride, oh, such a handsome groom. You can say, oh, so many nice... Flattery is there, it's like... may heaven bestow its choicest blessings on the newly wedding couple. They have those cards printed out. May they bestow their blessings. And oh, flattery words, all nice and flattery. Anyway, but it's okay in a wedding, this joking and wooing a woman to bring her under control. that's also permissible. All is fair in love and war, this is an English saying. All is fair in love and war. It doesn't matter what you do. Somehow or another you win the battle. Somehow or another you get the woman or the man. Whatever tactics you use, all is fair in love and war. So sometimes some things are good and some situations is bad. Anyway, Shukacharya is presenting his statements here. Good statements, very logical. And in the welfare of the demons, society, they're going to lose the universe. So it's a big thing. Anyway, this is the world of do's and do nots. It's not that you have to follow every do and do not just because it's there in the Veda. Something people think, oh, because it's there, it's not like that. You don't have to do every little thing. This was Lord Jagannath said this to Sri Damodar. He told Pundarik after the Jagannath's Arun Shasti Leela. Arun Shasti, they offered the starch cloth to Jagannath and Jagannath come and slapped the Pundarik Vidyanidhi when he criticized why you're giving starch cloth. So, because he was in a joking way, they were criticizing the Jagannath Pujaris, how they're offering the cloth. It's got starch. Starch is impure. If you touch starch, you have to wash your hand. How? Why they're offering starch cloth? Jagannath's okay, he can wear it, he can do anything, he's the Lord of the universe. But why the others are offering it? And why the king? I guess the king also has starch. The king wears that turban and he has a starch sticking up straight. He said, I guess the king also has. Everybody, just because you're born in Jagannath Puri, that means you become absolute, you're all on the absolute platform of Jagannath and you can do as you like, you don't have to follow rules and regulations. So when Jagannath beat him up, he said, if you don't like our rules and regulations, why don't you leave this place, go to your own country. If we're not following the proper rules and regulations, you go to your own place where they're following civilization. We might be devotees and we'll stay here. so Sri Damodar was telling Pundarik, it's just because the injunction is there, it doesn't mean it has to be followed. It's like you Purushottam Vrata or any Vrata, then everybody's going to come and ask you so many questions. What's the best thing to do? What about this? It says here that you should do this, that you fast, that you shouldn't cut your hair, that you should eat only habish or only do it, you should do only this, and there's so many other things you should do and should not do. So just because it's there in the Shastra, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything. But according to time and circumstance and the performer of the austerity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would do chat 4 months, chatamasha. Put your hands behind your back, put the khichdi on the floor. When you come back, that's no more going down again, one time down. Maybe we can't do that. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, he could do austerities. I could not do austerity. But everyone is different. So in different injunctions are there for different persons, different personalities. But it's not just because the injunction is there, it has to be followed. So in this way, the Veda has to be practical, because if it says only do this, some people can't do it. So if you can't do that, then do this. If you can't do that, do this. If you can't do this, then. So there's different ways of doing things. That Veda is practical. It's not going to give you something impractical. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. Any questions or comment? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for nice class. Prabhupada talks about beggars. In India we find so many beggars at the railways, so many places. So we see them, we come across them. How should we, when we come across them, happen to see them, how should be our approach towards these beggars, especially after hearing this purport?
How should we approach the beggars?
How to deal?
In the purport says you shouldn't give. You shouldn't give to beggars. And sadhus also say you shouldn't give. There's some injunction you shouldn't give. Jayapataka Maharaj, it was common knowledge that if you give to beggars, you take their karma. So you shouldn't give to beggars. It's common knowledge in many, many years ago in ISKCON, and the leaders, and but they were preaching like that. You shouldn't give. You should not give. But later on, I heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati goes, no, you should give. And maybe also, I'm not sure if Prabhupada said it also. Maybe he did. But so that is there also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, you should give to beggars, genuine beggars, not the ones who make it as a livelihood for themselves. But he said they should give. Should give something. They have Radhanath Maharaj, he has a rule that because in Bombay when the car stops, someone comes up and starts banging on the window. He wants something. And some of them say, then because they know ISKCON, they go, oh, Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad. They're expecting Mahaprasad. Otherwise they just ask for, they want money. And so Radhanath Maharaj said, no, you should give. You should give these beggars. They're living on the street, they haven't got anything. So some say you should give, some say you shouldn't give, according to these. You shouldn't give. Did it say that? You shouldn't give? Yeah, it says you shouldn't give. Maybe in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Anyway, there's two opinions here. And so, they're both supported, sadhu and shastra. And guru. When I go on Pikram, I take some money for giving charity. As we go into the different islands, Namadeep Prakraman, some beggars are there, Jog Pit, they have a line of beggars. So I keep something for the beggars. Of course these are Dambasi beggars, eh? You get Dambasi safer. So you have to clarify with your guru what is his opinion then. Follow the opinion of your guru. Give to the beggars? Oh yeah, you shouldn't give the beggars everything you have. Yeah. You should give to beggars, but don't give everything. Shouldn't be sentimental. Well, here is the injunction, I've got to give everything. As Shukacharya said, no purple, really. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shambhita Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bhava. Thank you. You're begging.